Welcome to Stone and Redbeard.
Today we're going to go over some movie news, a little box office. We're going to cover some news that came out of Comic-Con. And then we're going to tackle reboots, remakes, and continuations.
Welcome to Stone and Redbeard. Welcome back to the show, everybody. I guess we took a little... Did we take a hiatus?
We were gone. This will be 4 weeks.
Was it 4 weeks?
Yeah, 4 weeks.
Holy shit.
We're trying every other week, but...
Yeah.
Got a little busy with life.
Yeah. God, I didn't even notice it had been that long. Well, we're back, and glad to be here. There's been a lot been going on, and we have a lot to talk about today, so we'll try and get things in a nice, shapely order for you. Thanks for listening, everybody, by the way. I've talked to a couple people who have been listening, giving us some great feedback on what we're doing right and what we should do better. So we're working on it. Just be patient with us. That being said, we're going to jump right into our movie news segment, and that starts off with us talking about the box office every time we do a show. And I have to celebrate a little bit because I finally saw the movie that everybody else has been seeing for weeks now. In repeat viewings, in fact. They say once a movie gets over, you know, a certain hundreds of millions of dollars, a lot of the money that's being generated is just by people going to see it over and over again, essentially. So Jurassic World, I don't know the exact figure on it right now, but I mean, it's on its way to becoming the most successful film ever.
It's at $1.5 billion right now. It's closing in on Avengers, which it'll pass.
Yep.
Probably will not catch Avatar.
Oh, okay.
No, because Avatar still sits at $2.78 billion.
Jesus, man. I mean, what's the matter with you people? You're spending all your money on these weird movies that aren't that great. But Jurassic World, you know, I'm going to say that that is a great film. And, you know, I wasn't convinced at first. I was sitting there in the theater, and there were some moments where I thought to myself, I'm not sure that was a great, like, that scene really needed to be there. I felt like the editing wasn't tight enough, and there was definitely, actually, I found myself very critical of the shots as they were framed in the film at first. I was like, man, I feel like they're way too close up, or I feel like the back and forth edits here aren't making, like, they're not smooth transitions, a little fake looking or whatever, a little corny. But then, about half an hour into the movie, it just starts picking up, and it just is awesome from that point on. I mean, I just remember, like, sitting there and remembering, oh man, this is what it's like to be in awe again of a summer movie. And I can't imagine, I mean, we don't have a lot left for this summer as far as big movies. Mission Impossible 5. I didn't see Ant-Man yet, but I've heard kind of, you know, not mixed things, but maybe, you know, not super excited things about that.
Fantastic Four as well.
Movie. Yeah, Fantastic Four. But again, I'm not sure how excited I am about that. And so...
Vacation.
That's a reboot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean...
Or not a reboot, I'm sorry. That's a continuation.
No, it's a continuation, yeah. So you have Man from U.N.C.L.E., which is another take on a spy movie.
And I've seen some previews on that now, and it looks pretty good. And then Straight Outta Compton, actually, I'm thinking I'm going to end up going to see that. Because I've started to see some previews, and I think it actually looks pretty good.
It looks really good.
Yeah. So, that could be... But really, is that a summer movie? I don't know.
It's not a summer action movie.
Yeah,
it's
not.
It's just a movie that gets released in the summer.
Yeah. Like, let's be
the
honest.
The last of the summer movies is probably going to be Agent 47. That's end of August. So that's August 21st.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I thought that was in, like, September. Wow.
Yeah.
So really, you know, I can't imagine any of those movies being better than Jurassic World, which is a little disappointing because, you know, I was like, oh yeah, I'd like to go see Ant-Man, and I'm sure the new Mission Impossible, I mean, those Mission Reliable, you know, except for the second one, are pretty reliable films. So, I I'm looking forward to that, but to be honest with you, I just, man, that's it. Jurassic World was awesome. And, you know, it's the special effects, it's the tension, really, though. They built a really suspenseful film, and it kind of blew my mind how much I was like, whoa, literally on the edge of my seat. Just, my mom, I went and saw it with my mom, she was freaking out the entire time, freaking out. I give it an A. I mean, that's a really high rating for a movie, especially a special effects laden movie and a summer movie, and maybe I'll get some flack for that. But to be honest with you, during the summertime, that is the exact kind of movie I go to see. I didn't even really think Chris Pratt's performance, not his performance, he's fine, I think he's a great actor. I think his part was a little cheesy at times. But overall, the writing was good. I got some genuine laughs out of the script and the special effects. I mean, God, it was just, yes, everything yep. was great. So I highly recommend that for those three of you out there who haven't seen that, who also happen to be listening to our podcast.
A little bit of a bombshell as well for me is that I've seen it now twice in the theaters.
Yes.
So that is definitely a Blu-ray buy for me, yep. and I will watch it continuously. Ant-Man beat out Minions this week at the box office, which is not unexpected considering Minions was in its second week. Minions has done very well. Trainwreck took number 3, the Amy Schuller film.
Mm. I didn't even know that Judd Apatow directed that.
Yeah.
I thought he was just producing it.
Yeah.
So now I kind of feel like I might have to see it. I will say that this is 40 didn't quite connect the way that I would hope it mm-hmm. to. Between 40-year-old virgin knocked up and Funny People, I really like Judd Apatow as a director.
Yes.
And he's yet to disappoint me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, even though I'm not a huge Amy Schumacher?
Schumer.
If I have nothing to do and I need a laugh, I might go see it if I hear it's funny.
And then number 4 was Inside Out, followed by Jurassic Park at number 5. Jurassic World.
Although that would be awesome to see them re-release Jurassic
Park in the theaters
again.
Yeah. So another movie that I saw between our last podcast, I saw Max, which was the dog soldier movie, which...
Dog soldier. There's yeah. a movie called Dog Soldiers.
I mean...
literally.
Yeah.
It's a horror movie.
it made its money. It had a budget of $20 million. It's made $40 million almost, so it definitely pulled a profit in. I don't know if it's going to be released foreign. I doubt it, considering it's a... American rah-rah movie. I saw it with my nephews. The 8-year-old was fascinated, watched the whole thing, didn't move. 4-year-old fidgeted a little bit. They seemed to enjoy it. Give it a C+. Yeah, kids, family, recommend it, but it's not great.
Not for
I
everyone.
Mean, it's...
I know, my girlfriend wants to go see that.
So that's pretty much rounding out the summer. One thing we kind of wanted to talk about, since we're going to talk about reboots and remakes a little bit later, is with the Terminator coming out and not doing well domestically,
yeah,
but doing okay internationally in the foreign market.
Yeah,
do they make a sequel?
Yep, and here's the thing. I mean, I actually was not ready to shut down the Terminator series necessarily. I mean, even though Terminator Salvation sucked, with them saying, "Oh, that movie doesn't exist," okay, not bad, and. Terminator Genisys got has a 7.0 resting now on IMDb, but it's got a 41 Metacritic. When a new Twilight movie comes out, they're in the 30s range. That's awfully close to that, you
yeah.
know? And that says a lot. I mean, I listened to the reviews on it, and I didn't hear great things, yet I like the director. He did one other movie that I enjoyed, Thor of the Dark World. And then he did another movie called The Emperor's New Clothes back in the day, and this guy... He's actually a pretty good director, but maybe they didn't give him the right material to work with. I don't know. I had to skip it. Usually when a film has that low of a Metascore, I would have to be a diehard fan of something to go to the theater to see it, you know?
Yeah.
And so...
My suggestion?
Yeah.
Just go watch Terminator 2.
Yeah.
It's a great film.
Yeah.
It holds up really well.
Yeah.
I actually just watched it
Did
over
you
the
really?
Weekend.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's still fantastic.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
you need a Terminator fix.
You know, I might do that. And, you know, I gotta say, maybe this is a little sacrilegious here, but I don't really care. I'm not gonna rewatch Terminator. Sorry. I've seen it enough times when I was a kid. I watched the shit out of that on VHS. It's not something. It was a very simple sci-fi action thriller from the early 80s. Or was it early 80s? Mid 80s? I can't remember now. From the 80s.
Yes.
Does it matter? And I don't see it as like a. I don't think they really had much of a plan. Then they made Terminator 2 Judgment Day, and it was, like, way intense. You know, like, amazing. The special effects were huge off the radar. The story was way more complex and had more nuance to it. And it just was awesome. They really fired on all cylinders, which is cool that they did that. But it kind of makes it like, well, okay, do I really need to go back and watch the first one? Now, the really sacrilegious part, I actually thoroughly enjoy the third Terminator film, Rise of the Machines. Chris has a look on his face of confusion, but I really like it. And at this point, have probably watched it more than, well, no, probably about the same as Terminator 2, though. I like it. I like the TX. I thought she was fucking cool. What we're really getting at here is between Terminator Genisys is a flop here, but a success overseas, which means that we might see another one, because they built it up, apparently, set it up for another trilogy.
And they already have release dates for them.
Yep. And so this is a possibility. There will be a continuation here. But we're, you know, it's the same thing with Jurassic World. Jurassic World is fast on its way to becoming one of, it's already one of the five most successful films of all time if you don't adjust for inflation, right? So,
right.
So it's already a huge film and will continue to grow. And it would be foolish of a producer, of any producer, to have a film that makes over $100 million and not consider it a sequel. As long as it was not that high of a budget.
Right.
Now, do we get budget information on Jurassic World?
No. Not available.
And I don't know how much it would cost, but I'm assuming a movie like that has had to make $500 million to cover their costs. Because, what do you think?
Marketing,
$150 million movie, at least. And it's going to, they say that it's half that in marketing, but with Jurassic World, they're not going to spend half that in marketing. They're going to
spend
that budget.
About them,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, they really had to make a lot of money on it, but they knew they would, I think.
Yeah, just on nostalgia's
right.
sake. You
at this point, they hyped it up right, they made the right kind of film.
Yeah.
It was a really graceful and awesome way to continue a series that hadn't been touched in 20 years, and that it had some issues along the way. But again, we're looking at two franchises that are not perfect. I mean, I love Jurassic Park. It's an amazing film.
Mm-hmm.
The Lost World, I don't really remember that much of because it's not an amazing film. You know, it's a lower quality film. The third film, I enjoy, but it's almost like a fan film. It's, you know, Joe Johnston is a great director, I think. He's done some great films anyways. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, Jumanji, the first Captain America. The guy's been all over the place. He's one of the quieter, but the director who's made more films that affect your psyche than you probably realize,
mm-hmm.
right? He's a good director. But he made the third one, but when you're watching it, you're like, well, yeah, it's a Jurassic Park film, but at the same time, it's not quite a Jurassic Park film, because it's not quite on the scale that a Jurassic Park... I mean, it's really about these people surviving in a jungle against prehistoric animals. You know, it's like... It's almost like a short story based on Jurassic Park, you know?
Yeah.
So for them to go this direction now, you know, the order that I was hearing before I went in and an order that I thoroughly agree with is Jurassic Park, Jurassic World, Jurassic Park 3, and Jurassic Park 2. But there's a wide gap for a lot of people between Jurassic Park, you know, if we were ranking them in order, correct? So there's a wide gap for people between Jurassic World and Jurassic Park 3, and even wider to Jurassic Park 2, I think. It's just not considered as great in the pantheon.
Correct.
So what we're really asking at this point is, Arnold Schwarzenegger's getting old. He can't keep doing these. I mean, I hate to tell old people that they can't do things, because grandma is allowed to do whatever she wants. And that's the way it is. You've got human rights, right? But stop it, Arnold. Even in the poster, you look too old. So where do they go now? What direction can these franchises go?
I don't know where Terminator goes. Jurassic Park World, where that franchise go, I don't... They can't build another park. There's no way anybody would let them. So they have to go a whole other route of who would build dinosaurs and why. In the movie, they give you a reason for creating more dinosaurs, but would anybody want to see that reason?
Right. How cool is Jurassic Park going to be when it's not Jurassic Park?
Right.
And it's just a movie with dinosaurs that that do stuff.
I think Terminator should stop. I don't think it should go any further.
Yeah,
but
apparently Europeans disagree with us. And Chinese people.
Yeah. Asian markets and the European markets are still going out and see it. They're more than double than what the domestic market did, so...
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yep. Oh, well, I don't know. I mean, Terminator, I was fine with them not... after I saw Salvation, I was like, you know what, maybe this is just a product that's not worth it right now. And really, I think what would serve the Terminator franchise is the kind of break that the Jurassic franchise just took. You know? 20 years. Get away from... You know, because here we have Jurassic World with...
Well, they've taken long breaks between the films.
Nobody from Jurassic Park was in Jurassic World, right?
B.D. Wong was.
That's right.
He's the only character that's in both the original Jurassic Park and Jurassic World. Because he's a geneticist, so, but everybody else is dead.
So, here's an idea for Terminator. Stop making Terminators, wait 20 years. If Linda Hamilton is still alive, write a story about old Linda Hamilton and how that something happens with the Terminator and old Linda Hamilton.
Somehow. Yeah, because her son's been four different actors at this point now. So.
With a new, like, then we could have a badass senior citizen movie. That would be cool. Where senior citizens have to fight the Terminators and they win.
That'd be weird.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. Comic-Con was here in San Diego a couple weeks ago. We've been off so long that we didn't have a chance to talk about it. We'll quickly go over some of the news that came out of Comic-Con. Marvel themselves, Disney's wing of Marvel, did not show up. They did not have a panel or anything.
Yep.
But
they're pretty much like, yeah, we own this shit, so we're just not even going to come this year. So
yeah.
Fuck.
Well, they're having their own event in a couple weeks, so their own standalone event. D23, I believe is what it's called.
Oh, that's, yeah, Disney, yeah, does, yeah, that's going to be crazy.
So, Marvel, the representation of Marvel at Comic-Con was by Fox, and we saw X-Men Apocalypse, and we saw more on Deadpool, which I am more and more excited about.
Yeah, I'd really love to see a preview, but it hasn't been released yet.
No, yeah. So then, DC was the big showing, and Star Wars. DC, we saw an extended trailer of Batman vs. Superman, which was 4 minutes. It was a mini.
Yeah.
I mean, more than just a trailer.
Yeah.
Suicide Squad, we got a little more information. Green Lantern Corps was announced. So there will be multiple Green Lanterns. There's a few rumors as to who will be cast, including Tyree from the Fast and Furious franchise, and Chris Pine, also rumored.
Yeah, so, Tyree, that's who I was thinking of.
Yeah. So we'll see how that cast shapes up. The Batman vs. Superman comments, I didn't sound like you were much of a fan.
It's just so ridiculous. I don't understand why they're doing it. You know, we didn't really talk about Man of Steel, I think, in the last episode, did we? Like, extensively? I mean, I was stoned.
No, we kind of skipped over Man of Steel, I think, because it was the reboot of the Superman franchise.
Yeah. Because you could write a book about how ridiculous it was. I'm sorry. Like, I don't... It's going to be impossible. It's going to be, maybe not impossible, but pretty damn hard for them to ever make a Superman film that I think is worth watching anymore. Because it's hard to watch a character that is perfect, essentially. That can't fail. Unless you have this one thing. So then it just essentially becomes a story about people finding the one thing so they can fight Superman with it.
Right.
Like, it's like... Instead, we're going to write stories about people searching for a rock so they can throw it at this guy who usually can't be hurt by anything else. And it's... Right. I don't know how they're going to... You know, and when I was watching previews for Man of Steel, I got really excited because I thought, they're really going to do this right. They're going to give a good, proper origin story. And I thought, okay, I can get through all this stuff on, you know, his home planet with Russell Crowe and all that stuff like that. Cool. It's all right. You know, it works as an origin. But then once he gets to Earth, everything just got fucking stupid. Like, Amy Adams is not the right... I'm sorry. I really like Amy Adams. I don't know if they just dumbed her down or something like that, but I didn't care for her as Lois Lane. Henry Cavill, I cannot believe that that's a kid from Count of Monte Cristo. Did you ever see that? With Jim Caviezel?
Yes.
That's the teen son.
Oh,
that's
wow,
his son
that.
From that movie. It's crazy. He got huge. He's a totally different guy, right?
Wow.
And so, he's a great casting for Superman, he really looks the part, but then they don't really give him lines worth a shit, and I felt like even General Zod could have been a great villain, but it didn't make any damn sense that he could, like, do everything that Superman could right away. I kind of felt like Superman earned that ability by being here for a long time, and whatever, and, like, then they had this whole fight at the end that's a half an hour of them beating the shit out of each other. And all he's got to do is snap his neck and walk away. And it just, none of it made it any sense to me. That, like, I felt like, man, Zack Snyder I really like as a director. And there was a lot of flaws that I felt like people should have helped him work out. And I was surprised that Christopher Nolan... I almost feel like Christopher Nolan went over there and was, like, fucking up their movie by whispering things to them. Like, yeah, do it like this. Do it like this. Yeah, go ahead. Destroy the whole town and, like, then it'll be cool when he snaps his neck. It's gonna be awesome when it sucks. I mean, it's just... I don't know. I don't get it. I thought, when I first heard they were doing Batman versus Superman, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? And when they came out with that video on YouTube, where it's like a really high quality Batman versus Superman kind of thing, mm-hmm. and it's just Batman telling Superman how ridiculous it is that they work together, because Superman can just do everything that Batman can and can't be killed, so he's like the perfect, like, and it just makes sense. When they show Superman ripping the roof off the Batmobile in this trailer, and then they show Batman standing up to Superman, and I'm just like, but what is he gonna do? What invention do you have, Batman, that'll help you? You're a detective. You're a rich detective. You don't have Superman-proof vests or anything like that. I just don't know what they're gonna... And sadly enough, I don't care. I just don't want to see it. And it's going to be hard, because I probably should, to have a fair opinion about it.
Yeah. So then, Star Wars, the last big thing that came out of Comic-Con, I would say. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff that come out of Comic-Con. We're just going to get the major players, but brought the whole cast up on, well, most of the cast up on stage. Mark Hamill was there, Carrie Fisher, Han Solo.
Han Solo.
And then they brought their, the young, like, the kids and whatever, however they're saying what they are, and huge panel, huge success. They showed some footage. So I'm excited for Star Wars.
You know, I'm going to go see it probably after the madness dies down, because I don't care that much.
Oh.
I was a fan of the Star Wars films when I was younger, and I don't know why. Some films I can watch over and over again. Like, we're going to do our Desert Island movies in a minute here, and, like, we're going to talk about movies that one of my movies is ridiculous. It's almost embarrassing that it's going to be my. And yet, I love it and would defend it endlessly. But Star Wars, I wasn't quite as passionate about as I grew up. Because one day, my dad had them all on Laserdisc, all the originals. And I sat one day and I watched all of them in a row, start to finish. What is that, like 6 hours of film?
A little over six, yeah.
When I was maybe 11, maybe 12. That was too much. It burned me out. I don't know what it was. And I know people do that all the time. I mean, shit, I could do that with Lord of the Rings. I could do that with Indiana Jones or whatever. Something about them, though, like, I can watch them, but I'm not like, yay.
Yeah, I'm the opposite. That was my Saturday morning cartoons for a while. I wouldn't even watch cartoons. I had the old VHS box. I don't know if I still have it or not. I'd look to see if I do.
Yeah.
If they work, I'd be surprised, because I wore those things out. I mean, yeah. I would get up and just sit there and watch all three right in a row. And definitely a series. Now, the second set of trilogies, the episodes 1, 2, and 3, I've only seen one.
Yeah.
And out of some stupid principle I have not seen 2 and 3.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, because I hated 1 so much that I haven't given 2 and 3 a chance. Even though I've been told that 3 is redeemable. 3
was better, yeah. 2 was all right. From what I remember of it, I pretty much only remember Obi-Wan jumping down on a floating car and fighting some people. And there was another battle that I kind of remember. But I remember enjoying it more than Phantom Menace. Phantom Menace was just dog shit. I mean, right. It's just sad. I mean, I was at the store the other day, and they had some Hot Wheels, the Star Wars Hot Wheels, and I was like, they had a Darth Maul car, and I was like, who buys that shit? Who cares about Darth Maul? Who's that asshole? Like... The one dude, they hyped him so much, and then he just gets killed. Yeah. Like, in the movie. It's like, well, that guy was fucking useless. He was just like a stormtrooper. He was like a 20-minute stormtrooper, you know what I mean? Like, in Streets of Rage 2, he was the guy whose bar took longer to go down when you punched him and stabbed him, you know? And so, and then Jar Jar Binks and that whole underwater world thing was so stupid, and, ugh. So, yeah, I mean, I'm excited about the new Star Wars for the simple fact that I recently watched Ex Machina with Jason Isaac, and that was a great film. I could see the special effects were pretty flawless and so subtle, and I love subtle special effects. Grandma loved Ex Machina. What'd you give the Ex Machina? A plus, she says. A plus. Grandma really liked that movie.
It was very...
We watched that, my girlfriend, Grandma, and I, and I know my girlfriend really liked it too, and so yeah, that's a great movie. But anyways, Jason Isaacs in that. He's an up-and-coming star. He's kind of like the Hollywood It guy. And not the... he's more of a Dustin Hoffman, I would say. But, I mean, he's in really good shape right now. He just has that appeal to him. Anyways, he's going to be the star... He's like the main guy in the new Star Wars film, I believe. J.J. Abrams is a conscientious director. I'll say that. It's a little weird that he directed Star Trek sometimes. The reboots. It's a little weird, but it's still like... Okay... He did a good job for the most part. Now he's a fan of Star Wars. He didn't even watch Star Trek before he directed the films.
Right.
Star Wars, he's a fanboy. So it'll be interesting to see what he does with property that he's so passionate about, you know?
Right.
Because as a director, I do really like him. He's generally very good at what he does. Are you gonna wait in line for it? Overnight?
No. Can we go to a midnight showing?
Yeah, but you don't you think it's going to be an event? It's going to be the kind of movie that people are going to wait weeks for. Bet you motherfuckers are parked right now somewhere, saving a spot. They don't even get in line yet. They just save a spot right in the front, and they take shifts on it somewhere in Missouri.
Not yet.
Shit's going to get crazy.
I don't know. I'll probably go see it within the first week.
Okay.
But that's a pretty big deal.
All right. Alright, so moving on. Desert Island Movies. Okay, so the concept of Desert Island Movies that we discussed in the past is movies that you could take to a desert. Let's say you got stranded somewhere, but you kind of knew you were getting stranded somehow. Or if you were stranded, what would be the movies that, man, I wish I could have brought those movies with you? And it's a fun little game to play, to sit down and come up with a list of 10 movies that you think are movies that you just love through and through, that you could just watch over and over again, that you can't even always justify why, but God, you're passionate about them. But you better be passionate about them, because you're gonna have to watch only those forever. So for me, this week, I chose Nothing But Trouble, 1991, directed by Dan Aykroyd, and written by Dan Aykroyd and his brother, apparently. Peter Aykroyd. Stars Chevy Chase, Dan Aykroyd, John Candy, and Demi Moore. A businessman finds he and his friends the prisoners of a sadistic judge and his equally odd family in the backwoods of a bizarre mansion. So basically what happens is Chevy Chase plays a financier. He writes a financial columnist. He publishes a magazine in New York for finance. And he's got a lot of money, and he lives in this ritzy building, and he's having a dinner party or a cocktail party one night that he's not even really involved in. And he shows up, and there's this woman he meets in the elevator who just moved in, Demi Moore. She's having a rough night, starts crying, and he's trying to figure out what's going wrong with her, and then she comes up to his party, and come to find out, she needs to get to Atlantic City to stop a business deal from happening. Her ex-boyfriend or whatever is one of her clients, and she's trying to stop him from making a big mistake or whatever. So she needs to get there. She needs a ride there. This is New York City. She doesn't have a car. Chevy Chase has a nice classic BMW in the parking lot. So he says, all right, I'll take you. And then some of his clients actually kind of invite themselves, these annoying Brazilianers. Anyways, they all go on this little road trip thinking they're going to go to Atlantic City and have a nice little weekend of it in the BMW. Then they decide to take a side street to go get a little picnic action and hang out along the way. They end up in this little crummy town that's like really filthy. It looks like a coal miner's town almost. They blow a stop sign and they start getting chased by a cop. The Brazilianer's in the backseat, convince Chevy Chase he can take the cop, no problem. He got a Beamer, he can get to 130. This is the early 90s, mind you, so that was like a really big deal. Can't get away from the cop. The cop turns out to be John Candy. John Candy takes them in to see the judge, and they have a very different way of doing things in this county. It's called, they call the Shire Charter. It's like old school justice. Before there were like full out like laws and counties and all this shit, this existed. So Dan Aykroyd plays this judge who's very old and very decrepit and crazy, and he will kill you for minor offenses Running the stop sign while you're drunk or being a banker. And so it's about how Chevy Chase and Demi Moore and the Brazilianers, how they all interact with the John Candy. John Candy plays his own sister in the movie, so he was in drag for this. And then Dan Aykroyd plays one of two of these greasy, sloppy brothers that kind of look like garbage pail kids that live out in the junkyard outside. But you wouldn't be able to tell it's Dan Aykroyd because the makeup's so insane. I love this movie. I've been watching it since I was an early teen when it came out. I know it was Dan Aykroyd's passion to make this, and I don't know if he regrets it, but damn it, I love it. I think it's one of the weirdest movies you could ever see, but I think it's just fun and clever and different and worth a watch. So I'm going to throw that out there, and then I'm going to pass it off to Chris while I get some ice cream.
Yeah, so mine's not that far out there. Might be a little underseen, but definitely has its following. People love this movie. I'm going with Shaun of the Dead. Simon Pegg, Nick Frost. Love this movie. Guy wakes up and he's in the zombie apocalypse. In England, and it's his adventure of getting his best friend and rounding up his girlfriend and going to the Winchester, which is a local pub that has a gun over the bar. Not even quite sure if it has any bullets for it, because it's been on display ever since he can remember. But throughout the film, you know, it's definitely a comedy. It's not, you know, Dawn of the Dead or the Resident Evil films. These are slow zombies. At one point, they're in his backyard and they're throwing records at the heads of zombies to kill them. So, you know, it's just a great comedy, in my opinion. It was my first exposure to Simon Pegg, and I actually have went back and watched some of his earlier work, like Space, which was a TV series on the BBC years before that. I followed him since then, Hot Fuzz and other roles that he's played.
Which is funny because I really love Shaun of the Dead. It's a great movie. Mm-hmm. Seen it a number of times. I did not care for Hot Fuzz. I never saw Paul, and I couldn't stand, or not couldn't stand, I just really didn't, wasn't really into At World's End. It didn't really connect with me. But I like Simon Pegg. I loved him in the Star Trek movies, for instance.
Yeah, he's very good in those. He's very good in the Mission Impossible movies as well.
Yes! He is good as that, like, sidekick kind of geeky guy.
Yeah, he's really good in those.
Yeah.
So, that was my other Desert Island movie for this episode.
All right.
And now we're moving on to our hot topic, which is going to be reboots, remakes, and continuations. Dun, dun, now, dun. There is differences. And we're going to start out with an actual remake, which not many people know, Scarface. The original film was in 1932. It's a black and white movie that had to do with Prohibition. The remake, obviously, which is a very popular movie with Al Pacino, that a lot of people love, has to do with Miami and cocaine, whereas the original was in Chicago in the 1930s. That is an actual remake. Like, there are shots in the 80s Scarface with Pacino that are direct copies of movies in the 1932. So they pay homage to the original, and the storyline's kind of the same, the plot's kind of the same, where he's working his way up as an underling to the boss and ends up taking over for the boss, and so that's, and then it all comes crashing down. So it has the same basic story, and just the players are different, nationalities are different, obviously, because the earlier one is Italian mobs, and they're fighting the Irish mob, and in Miami, it's obviously Cubans, and so that's a traditional remake.
Which is weird, because when you think about it, Scarface is almost like how they have Romeo and Juliet adaptations, you know, or like even Shakespeare adaptations, I mean, right, in general, where they take the original Shakespeare story and they just reframe it, like
10 Things I Hate About You.
Exactly, and Clueless, and stuff like that, and Scarface is kind of like that. It's like, all right, let's take the original one that was in Chicago about, you know, Italian gangsters and make it about Cubans in Florida with cocaine. And, you know, it's like,
and there's a rumor that they're going to redo it again.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is possible. They just have to pick a new location, a new nationality, and...
And a not new drug make it. And just stop. Something. And never make it. Because it doesn't... Yeah, they're really going to have to do that. They're going to have to shift it completely, you know? I mean...
They could do, I don't know, guns coming out of Mexico or something, or... Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. What comes out of Canada?
But pot. That's really what we're talking... Yeah, that's what we're really talking about here. Do they have pot in Canada? what we're really talking about here is original sin. You know, I get kind of frustrated sometimes because I talk to people and they tell me that they're frustrated that they all these sequels coming out, or they're rebooting that, or remaking this, or whatever. Now, some of them we're going to talk about are a little ridiculous. It's like, okay, yeah, we don't need to have this many... Spider-Man. I'm sorry. But some of them are worthwhile, worth watching. Like, I know people that didn't want to see Jurassic World because they're saying, oh, I just can't believe they're still doing that. And then they go see it and they actually enjoy it, you know, and it's like, well, they're doing it right, so that makes it alright as long as they have a good bent on it, which is not always the case, so.
Right. Starting out with, for me, a remake that is a remake for a couple reasons, is A Fistful of Dollars, mm-hmm. which is based off of an Akira Kurosawa film called Yojimbo. Mm. That's where they remake a movie to play to an entire different nationality. Mm-hmm. They turn a samurai movie into a Western.
Yeah.
Which has been, a lot of Akira Kurosawa films have been turned into American films. People have theorized that Star Wars is based off of an Akira Kurosawa film.
Mm-hmm.
And so stories can be remade to appeal to a whole different audience mm-hmm. in that way. So that's a remake that we see a little bit. Now there's other remakes to appeal to different generations. My next example is Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, which the original was made in the 70s?
Yes.
Late 70s.
And that's a Roald Dahl property,
with,
too.
Yeah, Gene Wilder. And
classic.
Then remade with Johnny Depp. And the two films side by side are totally different.
Yeah.
I mean, they have the same sort of steps. There's some Oompa-Loompas. They have the same basic story, but completely different tones for a different generation.
Mm-hmm. No, I totally agree with that. And I'm a huge fan of the original.
Yes.
I love Roald Dahl stories anyways, but Gene Wilder was just perfect as the crazy candy maker, and you know, all the kids were great, and I know it's because it's a classic and that's what you saw for so long, but the Johnny Depp one was a little weird for me. It was like, okay, it is weird. You're really weird. That whole thing that he does, and I don't know, I didn't really care for it, and the Oompa Loompas all being the same guy was also weird. I didn't like that.
A little weird, yeah.
It's like they're all the same guy, and it's so obvious that you just are digitally copying this same guy, and that's kind of annoying. I don't agree that you're doing that. Is it's just lazy, Tim Burton. Get it together.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
And what happened to you, by the way? You used to make amazing films. You, Alice in Wonderland. What? Oh.
He likes to put the weird spin on franchises that mm-hmm. don't necessarily need it, mm-hmm. I would say.
I think he got decadent. I hate to be so crappy about it. The guy's one of my childhood heroes. I mean, let's just take a look here.
Oh, he's got, supposedly, the sequel to Beetlejuice has been announced.
Oh, great. Let's see if we can't fuck something else up.
Yeah. But, I mean, the original Beetlejuice is great.
Yeah.
I mean...
Oh, my God. I used to, like, mock that. Like, I would mimic it to my parents for comedy stand-up shows that I would do.
Yeah. And then he did Batman.
When I was like,
first one was okay. Edward Scissorhands was a little weird.
Mm-hmm. But
you go back to his earlier stuff. He did Pee-wee's Big Adventure, which is not weird at all.
No,
I mean, character of Pee-wee Herman.
And I should clarify
but...
that I love Edward Scissorhands. But he's now, is he directing a new Beetlejuice, or is he just? Let's see here.
He's the director. It's been announced. I don't have a date yet for it, but it has been announced, and he is the director and producer.
To be fair, I didn't see Big Eyes or Frankenweenie. I didn't see Dark Shadows, but come on, who did?
Yeah.
Alice in Wonderland. Now, I was considering the other day that Sweeney Todd was good. I mean, I don't rewatch musicals a lot. It depends on the musical, and that's not one I would rewatch a lot, but I enjoyed that. Corpse Bride I never saw, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Now, Big Fish, that's one of my all-time faves. He just really isn't there for me right now. What happened? Now, The Fly, I never saw the original. I'm not going to sit here and claim that I've seen every movie, but I know I had Vincent Price in it. I know it's in a classic horror film. A scientist has a horrific accident when he tries to use his newly invented teleportation device. It says, the first time atomic mutation on humans has been shown on the screen. Well, anyways, they remade it. A guy named David Cronenberg, a director worth talking about. He's done films like History of Violence, Eastern Promises, that's one of some of his more recent work. That was Jeff Goldblum, then made the reboot.
Yeah, I saw that one.
Yeah, with David Goldblum. Or, I mean, with David Cronenberg. As the director, he also directed some weird films. He directed, yes, Crash, which is about people who like to get in accidents because it turns them on and have sex. Naked Lunch. But he's a well-known underground sort of, like, director, sort of a David Lynch. He made it into a very gruesome, very dark horror film, which was fascinating. So sometimes they're successful. Like, for me, I don't really have a lot of interest in seeing a Japanese cop or detective film. Like, I don't really watch a lot of Japanese or even Asian films, I will say. I don't know why, it's never been around. Not that I would avoid it, I guess. I'll give it a shot. Just back off, all right? But The Departed was a great film. Mm. Martin Scorsese, top of his game. He's kind of hit or miss, I feel like, over the last 5 years, 10 years maybe. But The Departed was really one of his great films, I think. And to think that it's a remake, but man, the characters in it. Like, even just Alec Baldwin's character alone, this intense, like, you know, lead detective or whatever, that God, I mean, he was just, like, so awesome, even in a smaller part. And Jack Nicholson, and Leonardo DiCaprio, and Matt Damon, and Vera Farmiga. Oh my gosh, I just love, it's a great remake. A tragic remake, I will say, though. I don't know if the original was quite that tragic. I didn't see it. Moving on, really along the continuation vein, and we don't have a ton of these on there. They don't tend to go this way, but James Bond is sort of a continuation, sort of a reboot, sort of a sequel, because it's sort of understood that there's going to be a new James Bond eventually, that it's going to be sort of a continuation of what's been happening, but not really at the same time. I guess these are really reboots because they're bringing in the old characters finally now, Moneypenny and Q. But I really like Casino Royale. I even like Quantum of Solace, and I did enjoy Skyfall. Not quite as much as the hype, I feel like, at first. But I think that that's an example of a very successful reboot because I love the old James Bond films, but they're very much of their time. And with technology and movies and stuff like that, when you're spy tricks and whatever, well, obviously the same thing that's fascinating now, I mean, shit, I could probably do, like, half the stuff that James Bond could do on my phone now, you know? Yeah. Like, I just need to download an app, you know? Yeah. So they really do have to sort of stay ahead of the game. So it's a reboot that does a service because it brings it into a vernacular that we can understand.
Right.
You know? Now, I will say, before you get into a Disney discussion here, that one example of a movie that doesn't try to bring it into the future in most ways is King Kong. Because that's a reboot that is faithful to the time.
Right. We did it in the same time
but
as the original.
The special effects are obviously that much greater.
Right.
And I will say that looking back on it, I think Peter Jackson got carried away. I love that movie. It was my number one the year it came out, I remember. But it's also the kind of movie that I know and not everybody agreed. I was just in awe of the grandeur of it, I think, at the time.
That fight scene between King
Kong
and T-Rex
was
just
amazing. It was like the one time where I like, yes, kill the T-Rex. It's amazing. Killed them both. But, I don't... You know, what's interesting about that is that I don't know how well it holds up because it simply was just too long. And Peter Jackson was just like, yes, I made Lord of the Rings. Watch me do other things now.
Everyone will watch a three-hour
movie.
Yeah,
exactly. And I have the director's cut, and I would watch it again. I mean, it's enjoyable at some level. It's definitely something I prefer to watch as surround sound because it is a very, you know, it's a technical film above anything else. But it's not a classic or anything like that. And, you know, Peter Jackson has made far better films by making Middle-earth movies anyways, so
right.
I would pass on that. But anyways, moving on.
Disney has now started turning their animated classics into live-action films. Based on the success of the Cinderella film and Maleficent to a degree, even though that's not based on a faithful to its story, it is live action based off of the universe in the Disney. They have a bunch coming up. The Jungle Book is coming out in April of next year, being directed by Jon Favreau, which did the original Iron Man.
Yeah.
It's going to have the voices of Bill Murray, Ben Kingsley, Scarlett Johansson, Christopher Walken. I mean, there's some great cast in this. They're obviously all going to be voices of, I would assume, CGI'd animals. And then the one boy is going to be an actual boy. We have the, I would assume it's a sequel, Alice in Wonderland Through the Looking Glass. Mm-hmm. It's not being done by Tim Burton. It's being done by James Bobbin. But it is going to have the same cast of Johnny Depp, Helena Bonham Carter, Mia. I should be able to say that because it looks like a Russian name. And then
that
in
is
July,
the official pronunciation of her name.
Right, yeah, we'll go with that.
No deviations, please.
And I didn't know this was... I did a little research. I didn't know this was coming out, but the BFG is coming out in July of next year. It's being directed by Steven Spielberg.
Whoa!
And
is it live action, or is it more of that stop-animation shit that they just can't let die?
It's supposed to be live action.
Or motion capture, I'm sorry, not stop
motion. So we'll see what that looks like. There isn't anything on it yet. Martin Freeman's in it. Bill Hader's in it. I look forward to that because Roald Dahl is one of my favorite authors as a kid. I still have every book he's ever written.
Yeah.
When I was a kid. Another big one, 2017, will be the live action Beauty and the Beast, starring Emma Watson. That's being directed by Bill Condon.
That might be interesting. I do like Bill Condon. He did Dream Girls and Kinsey.
So, those are a few of the animated movies to live action that Disney is tackling. There's a few more that they've announced. We won't go over them all because that would take forever. But it's an interesting strategy that they're taking with the success that they're having with, you know, the Marvel franchise that they bought, and we assume the success of the Star Wars and all the Lucas films that they're going to be producing, because they're probably going to be pumping out at least 2 films a year, if not 3 films a year, based off the universe of Star Wars, with the Boba Fett movie announced. The movie based on Han Solo as a young man before he gets involved with the Rebellion. It seems to me they're letting Pixar do the animated stuff, and Disney's going to live action. That's what it seems like. Even though Disney is still putting out some animated films.
But who cares?
Yeah. Who cares? What was their last one? I don't know.
No one cares about your animated movies.
Yeah, so that's Disney in a nutshell right now. One of the terrible remakes. We'll go into a few of these. I'm going to hit a couple real quick. Rollerball was one. Don't know why it needed to be remade.
Now, have you seen the original?
Yes, with James Caan?
Yeah.
Yes.
And you like that?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, it's in the vein of... I don't want to say Escape from New York, but...
Okay.
You know, it's a good action movie for the era. I mean, it was made in 1975, so it's a little older. So you can't go on expecting, you know, special effects to be great. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the stunts are... It's similar to the Mad Max, I would feel, now.
Okay.
Where some people have said... I know people have told you to don't go back and watch the original.
Right.
Watch the new one, because the graphics and the special effects are just so much better nowadays.
Right.
But I think 2 holds up pretty well. Thunderdome, I don't know if you need to really see that.
Mm-hmm.
Mad Max 2, I saw clips of it not too long ago. I would say within the last couple of weeks. And it wasn't something that would turn me off, just off what it looked like.
Yeah.
Like, it still held up. So I would say Rollerball is one of those, the original. The new one that was in 2002 was awful. Don't bother. Don't waste your time. Now, Spider-Man's a little different, because I thought that Andrew Garfield actually did a pretty good job as Spider-Man.
Okay, yes.
The last of the... So, Tobey Maguire did 3.
Yes.
The third one was terrible. We've talked about that before.
Yeah.
It was awful. Don't ever, ever bother watching it.
It need not even be mentioned.
Right. The first Amazing Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield, I thought was pretty good.
Yeah.
The second one with Jamie Foxx wasn't so good. And it looked like it was going to take an interesting turn, having Paul Giamatti as the Rhino.
Yeah.
We won't see that now because they are now rebooting it entirely again. They've announced the actor, which we did talk about in our last podcast. We recorded that Monday, and we didn't know who Spider-Man was at that point.
Right.
And they announced it Tuesday morning. Yep. So we wake up to the news of Spider-Man's been picked.
Yeah. Who is it again? So, I can't remember.
Tom Holland. First actual film will be the Captain America Civil War movie. It won't even be the first Spider-Man movie.
That's right.
He'll be in the Captain America movie first, and then the Spider-Man movie, and then the Avengers.
Right.
The two after that.
So that's cool. I hope they don't fuck it up.
Yeah. So he is young, so they are going to take him into high school, I would assume, which is where, I mean, Spider-Man's always been a young character as far as comic books go. So I know Sam Raimi recently in an interview said he was happy that they were taking him that young again, because he actually is a teenager still. I think he's 19 right now.
Okay.
So he's still really young. He is British, so we have an American kid being played by a Brit, but we got one back when Ben Affleck took over Batman again from Bale, so I guess it's a trade-off.
Yeah, that's something to be proud of, isn't it? Hey, here's our best American. He's a good director. We'd like to make him Batman, please. No, this is weird.
So those are a couple terrible ones, and we have ready to talk about a couple that fall into the horror genre.
Oh, yes. All right, so...
You put I Am Legend as horror, correct?
I do. I mean, yes. Okay, so here's my problem. Now I have I Am Legend, and I will probably watch it again. I mean, I don't know how long I'm going to live, but at a certain point, if I'm not doing anything one day, I could watch it again. It's a good movie. Surround sound and all that stuff. Christopher Lawrence is a director. He's a little over the top sometimes, but Constantine was a pretty good movie, and, you know, he's an interesting director to watch, but he's not always great, and... I Am Legend had its flaws. Will Smith plays a guy who was a scientist who helps... he was working for the military, fighting this disease that they had accidentally created when they found a way to kill cancer with a virus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, decent premise. Not really the book that it's based off of. Now, I Am Legend is based off a novella by a guy named Matheson. And... he wrote books that were based, that eventually led to movies like What Dreams May Come.
Richard Matheson,
thank you. He's basically like one of Stephen King's greatest inspirations as a writer. And he wrote the novella I Am Legend, based off an idea he had when he was in boot camp in the military. He was reading Dracula and he thought to himself, man, this is one vampire versus a bunch of humans, a world full of humans. What if it was one human against a world full of vampires? So he wrote a novella about just that, about a disease that takes over the world and turns people into vampires, and he's a human who's left to fight them, and they only come out at night, and so he boards himself up at night, and during the daytime he gets to have free reign over this apocalyptic land, essentially. But throughout the novella, he actually digs up myths and legends about vampires and puts them to scientific tests to see why, like, he tries to find a logic for, like, why garlic helps and why crosses don't, and all this fascinating stuff, and it turns out to be this really great little novella. It's 175 pages that they turned into a bloated movie that had nothing to do with vampires, turned everybody into basically these zombies, and they were all CGI and super horrible and, like, jumped really fast and really awkwardly, and they killed the dog. What kind of asshole kills the dog? And, I don't know. It just, there were problems with that movie. So they made another version of this movie called The Omega Man. Well, there actually was another movie before that called The Last Man on Earth, which was, I think it had Vincent Price. That's the first version of this to be turned into a film. Then they did it with Omega Man, which is cheesy and over the top, but it is more about sort of vampires. Mm. And then I Am Legend. Another horror series, Friday the 13th, has been rebooted. I mean, obviously they've had a number of sequels, but then they did a reboot in 2009, which I thought was a very great, like, homage to slasher flicks. It had great you know, slasher scenes and a bunch of sex and TNA and all that stuff like that. And it was just fun to watch. That was cool. But I have yet to see a reboot of Nightmare on Elm Street that looks like it should get my attention.
Yeah, the reboot of Friday the 13th was good. I forgot I'd seen that movie.
Yeah, I really liked it. That was a good one. It was fun to watch, yeah. Which is weird, because that director has also done, like, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre reboot and a movie called Pathfinder, which was horrible. I really don't care for him as a director otherwise, but I did like that Friday the 13th. Now, when you look at the Day of the Dead movies, those are obviously, you know, Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead. Those are an original series, and then it moves on to Land of the Dead, I think Diary of the Dead. There's a number of later ones. But the reboot of Dawn of the Dead, or actually just a remake, because they never continued on, was directed by Zack Snyder. That was actually, I think, his directorial debut, or his major directorial debut. And that was a great movie. Ving Rhames, and, you know, a bunch of other actors. It's funny, because one of the actors is the guy that's on Modern Family now.
Yeah, and Ty Burrell. He's the main father in Modern Family.
Yes, Ty Burrell. He was not that way in this movie. He was a complete douchebag in this movie. It's great. So that's a fun movie to watch. I recommend that. And then moving away from horror a little bit, one reboot that I love, actually, that I just showed my girlfriend the other night, and she loved it. She watched it twice. The Thomas Crown Affair with Pierce Brosnan and Rene Russo.
Oh, I was like, what are you looking for? His co-star.
And,
yeah.
That is such a cool movie, and I've never seen the original, and for me, it's kind of like Ocean's 11. I'm sure the original is great. I'm sure we'll lose some of our older fan base when they find out that I don't really want to see the original. This movie, though, is about Pierce Brosnan plays a super rich guy who decides he wants to steal art for fun from, like, the Modern Art Museum, or no, the Museum of Art in New York or whatever. And Rene Russo plays an insurance investigator who comes in to figure out who stole the painting and gets onto his lead, but then kind of like falls in love with him and they have like a little affair. Such a cool movie, though. He's super rich and they just do super crazy stuff. It's fun. And yeah.
Go back a little bit into some comic book movies that are going to be remakes and reboots. They're rebooting the Fantastic Four franchise next month in August. With Michael B. Jordan, Miles Teller.
And then Kate Mara's in it, isn't she?
Yes. She's Sue Storm. She's
oh,
visual.
God, I love her.
Yeah. The Thing is Jamie Bell, which he's going to be CGI most of the time anyway.
Yeah,
so
that's
it's just
weird.
The beginning. They're going to retell the origin story. You can just tell from the trailer they're retelling how they became the Fantastic Four.
Mm.
The main villain is going to be Doctor Doom, which is a great villain.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting to see the reboot. I wasn't that excited about it, but the first couple of Fantastic Four movies, I didn't think they were that good.
Mm.
I mean, I wasn't a huge fan.
Yeah.
The first one was pretty good. Surfer, not so good.
Yeah.
But this has promise. I'm going to give it a shot. At Comic-Con, obviously, they announced the Green Lantern movies. New one, so that's going to be a reboot, getting away from the turd that was the Ryan Reynolds, which is amazing.
Did you actually watch it?
It was terrible.
Oh.
It was so bad. It was one of those movies that I'm glad I did not buy ahead of time. I didn't see it in the theaters, but it was one of those movies that I contemplated buying it.
Oh, wow.
And I'm glad I didn't, because it was awful. But I'm excited for him as Deadpool, because one of my favorite movies is Waiting, which not a lot of people have seen.
I know.
It has to do with the restaurant business.
It's sad. It's a fun little movie.
Yeah. I actually got to go see Still Waiting, the sequel, at a screener in Hollywood.
I did see that.
And the sequel's not good. And Ryan Reynolds isn't in it. The only one who's in it is
Justin Long though. His character was great.
Yeah.
He's, like, crazy.
Yes.
He doesn't actually go on and do anything with his life. He just becomes this asshole.
Well, he moves to the steakhouse.
Yeah.
And then the steakhouse gets bought by the company that owns Shenanigans.
Yeah.
So he ends up going back into work for Shenanigans. And then
I don't even remember that much. Yeah. I just remember him being, like, just nothing like the character he was in the first one. He's like just an asshole partier.
Burnt out
like,
by
yeah,
being in the restaurant.
Doesn't even care anymore.
But his character in Ryan Reynolds' character, not Justin Long, Reynolds' character in Waiting and his earlier stuff just really reminds me of what he could pull off with Deadpool.
Mm.
Like the sarcastic, foul-mouthed, breaks the fourth wall so he knows he's in the movie.
Yeah.
He knows he's a comic book character.
Yeah.
That's something that character is famous for. I'm just really excited for that movie.
Yeah.
I'll I don't know how many times I say that, but
it'll be interesting to see how well it does, because it's not a direct Marvel property anymore. Like, not right now, anyways. It's 20th Century Fox is making it. They're notorious for fucking with directors and kind of, like, honing in creative energies. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if they pull it off, and it'll be interesting to see if there's really the fan base for it, but you know what? I think everything has changed since Guardians of the Galaxy, because they've shown that they don't, like, as long as it's a well-made comic book film, people will go see it, you know?
Well, this will be this director's debut.
Oh. So we will see.
He's written a few shorts. He's been a producer on a few shorts. He's done special effects, but he's only directed two shorts. Aunt Lucia and Rockfish, which were over 10 years ago, both of them. So,
Jesus.
We will see.
That's a pretty big movie to cut your teeth on, it.
Yeah,
I
don't know. I just hope Ryan Reynolds can pull it out.
Yeah.
I mean, all the stuff that he's, you know, putting up on Twitter and just previous roles that he didn't completely bomb in.
Yeah.
Makes me have some faith in this movie. So we'll see. So those are a couple comic book movies. Agent 47, which is the Hitman movies, is based off a video game series. Very popular video game series. There's been at least 5 games in the franchise. There was a Hitman movie that already came out, which starred the guy from Vegas.
Oh, Timothy Olyphant.
Yes, he was the original Hitman. I actually liked that movie. I thought it was pretty good. I thought they stayed true to the character. He kept his proper demeanor as far as being the assassin. The new one, we'll see. It has a new main Agent 47. It's Rupert Friend. So we'll see. The trailer looks pretty good.
I haven't seen a trailer for you, but the only thing I liked about the first one was that Olga Kurylenko was naked a lot. That was awesome.
Yes. She's very...
I mean, not to be a total
creeper, but very good looking. Yes.
Whatever. I wasn't... I mean, it was okay. It was an action flick. You know, my dad loves those kinds of movies. Oh, my God. Just anything with that much action in it, he's very excited. Yeah.
Well, I think one of the biggest things with that movie is the fact that there's not many good video game movies.
Yeah.
Most of the video game movies are pretty terrible. I mean, one series we don't even have it up there, but I'm going to bring it up now, that they continue to make is the Resident Evil movies.
Oh, yeah.
Resident Evil 6 has been announced, and I believe they're currently filming or about to start filming. The first one kind of stayed on target with the story of Resident Evil, but then after that, got just completely...
Yeah.
It doesn't have anything to do with the video games anymore. Like,
yeah.
They pretty much just maintain the T-cell virus, and she fights the zombies from it. So,
which is weird, because they have so much rich material to choose from already that they could turn in... That's what I don't understand. It's like the thing with I Am Legend. They had this great 175-page novella. Most scripts are like 150, 200 pages.
Right.
Obviously, they can't translate all of that, but they don't need to translate a bunch of written words. They just... It's in action anyways, right? So why not take this great story you already have and make it? And it's the same thing. It's like the Resident Evil stories already exist.
Yeah.
Why not just follow? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's a little confusing on that part, because I really liked the first one. I remember seeing the second one and just being like, this is stupid now, you know? But I didn't see another one until I saw the Vegas one, and that was just like, okay, if you're not following the games anymore, but you're making zombie films, but there were so many flaws with it, like so many things that didn't fit into sort of the zombie canon of ideas that you really don't violate. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, well, then what the hell is this crap about anymore? It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Ocean's 11, the original film, was made in 1960. It was done by the Rat Pack.
Mm-hmm.
Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., Frank Sinatra, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just an ensemble movie. They just got a ton of famous people. They all liked each other. And they made a movie together. And that's exactly what Ocean's 11 is, when they redid it with George Clooney and Matt Damon and Brad Pitt.
And it's great.
I think the camaraderie and the fact that they're real friends,
right,
I think, comes through in the filming, because there's just so many scenes that you can tell they're just having a blast filming this movie.
Right.
And I think both the original Rat Pack one in 1960 and the remake in 2001 both show that these mm-hmm. guys really just liked each other, and they really just wanted to work together. They wanted an excuse to get paid to be together
right.
all day.
Yep.
And I think they made both beautiful movies.
Yeah.
Right? Great movies.
Yeah, you know, in that Ocean's 11 movies, what's crazy about the modern ones is that Steven Soderbergh directed them there, and the direction is so good. And the first one I thought was great. And then the yeah. second one was good, but there was some elements. The whole Julia Roberts pregnant celebrity Bruce Willis thing was a little weird. It didn't really flow for me. There were some flaws I felt like there. But overall, I think that it was still, you know, it was still decent. But the third one I thought was great.
Yeah, 13.
Ocean's 13 was actually like a total return to form,
yep.
fun to watch, cool little caper movie, you know. Yeah. Great music and everything like that, so I'm a big fan of those. I'll watch them
yeah.
in a couple of years.
So before we get into future reboots and recontinuations, Ray has a couple to talk about that have just recently been redone.
Yeah, so I'll be as brief as I can. Total Recall, you know what, Hollywood, sometimes fuck you. And this is a really sad thing for me, because Total Recall with Arnold Schwarzenegger is one of my all-time favorite movies. I'm a child of the 80s, and I think that movie came out in, like, 90. That was right in the sweet spot for me. I was born in 81. That movie left an impression. I used to watch that on VHS and wait through the stupid longest credits in the world that are just totally useless long-ass credits. They have, like, no cool visual. But still, the movie is so cool. I love it. I watch it all the time. It's like my comfort... Well, not all the time, but I love it. Then they remake it with a great director. Len Wiseman did the first two Underworld films, and then he did Live Free or Die Hard. So he was on, like, a good trek for me. Like, he made cool-looking, sophisticated action films. And then by the time he got to Live Free or Die Hard, it was to show that he could have a funny element to it and entertaining in that level. He looked like he was on par to make great films, and then he makes this crap. And, I don't know, Colin Farrell just didn't really... The whole thing with it being in China and not have anything to do with Mars. And Bryan Cranston, it was just like, no, you're still too much like Heisenberg. And it just sucked and was so disappointing. And it's the only movie I think I've ever seen Kate Beckinsale in where I was like, she doesn't really look that hot in it. Like, is that weird? And I didn't really... I was like, ScarJo, get away. I don't know. Just not a good movie. Okay, moving on.
I will say I'm completely jealous of him.
Of which one?
Wiseman.
He's married to Kate Beckinsale. Yes, he's married to her. But you know what? I don't know. Maybe it's not as good as we think it is.
No, it can't. No.
Oh, I know.
She's amazing. No.
I wonder if he still makes her put on the Underworld costume.
No, well, they're doing the next one together, right?
They're making another one?
Yeah, it's Underworld Next Generation. I don't know if he's going to direct it, but I know he's a producer on it.
And she's in it?
I don't know. She's in the last one. She skipped one. She skipped the third one and was back for the fourth one.
Well, because that was a prequel. But right. The third one was horrible. And it was like an hour and 19 minutes long. Like, they couldn't even... It was like they had to poop. And they just felt like, you know, they spent 20 minutes on the toilet, nothing happened, and they just made... They had... Something had to happen. So she pushed it out.
She's on the cast for the next one that's coming out. The one that's been announced. She's on the cast for it. That's something again.
What does it say? A release date?
No, there's not a release date yet. The director's going to be Anna Forster, though.
What's she directed?
A bunch of TV stuff. Criminal Minds, Unforgettable, Outlander. This will be her first Hollywood film.
Okay. Planet of the Apes, that's a weird one, because they made, like, the originals. I think there was 5 originals. There was at least 4, I believe. So there
was
Planet of the Apes, and then Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Return of the Planet of the Apes. Rise of the... I think it was originally Rise of the Planet of the Apes. This is a weird... But, man, they got really weird. Like, I remember seeing one where... They were just really weird. So weird.
They even did TV movies and TV...
Yeah. All over the place.
Beneath the Planet of the Apes, that's another one.
Yep.
Planet of the Apes was the original.
Mm-hmm.
Beneath was 2 years later.
Yeah, they're just so strange. And then they do this reboot with Mark Wahlberg, directed by Tim Burton, who just, again, what are you doing? It was so weird. It didn't really make a whole lot of sense the way it worked out. So it was one of those movies where you could tell, like, they didn't even really think the logic out all that well, and they just hoped nobody would notice.
Yeah.
And I think it made a lot of money still, but it was not good. Now, the new ones, Planet of the Apes, was pretty decent. I remember watching it and thinking, yeah, maybe I should watch that again someday, and then just never getting around to it. But I enjoyed it. And I saw Rise of the Planet of the Apes?
No, that was the first reboot. 2011 was
so
Rise.
So Dawn of the Planet of the Apes is the one.
Dawn was the one that just came out last year.
Okay. That one, I liked it, but I don't know if I liked it. It's kind of weird. I don't know how to explain it. So, you know, whatever. Planet of the Apes, interesting stuff. Clash of the Titans, I don't even want to talk about that guy.
Release the Kraken.
Yeah, Sam Worthington. I hate to say it, but I'm kind of glad I haven't seen him in anything recently because the guy just seems to sap the life out of the scenery around him. I don't know. He just doesn't, there's nothing going on there for me. And Clash of the Titans was no exception. They have such an opportunity to make these really cool Greek mythology movies and they just screw it up. And then I saw Wrath of the Titans and it was just as bad. And I'm like, dude, why? This is such rich material and you're just out here fucking it up.
Yeah.
I don't understand that. But anyways, now, one last thing I have to talk about. Star Trek here. So I know it's the year of Star Wars. Whatever. I grew up watching Star Trek as well, and more so than Star Wars. There's a lot of rich material there because I watched all the original series with my dad, and then I would watch The Next Generation, and I've even watched others like Deep Space Nine, not so much Voyager, I never saw Enterprise.
Scott Bakula, you missed that one?
Yeah, is it good? I might have to watch it.
It's not bad. It's actually pretty good. Because it's the birth of the Enterprise.
Yeah.
Again, so
I would watch it. I mean, I'd give it a shot. And I love Scott Bakula, Quantum Leap. I mean, come on.
Oh,
what are we talking about here? Huh? You know?
Quantum Leap was a favorite as a kid, yeah.
Love it. So, but I will say that the original films, I never saw the motion picture. But Wrath of Khan, Star Trek III, Star Trek IV, not so much Star Trek V, and then Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country. Those are great films. Especially Star Trek II and Star Trek VI. If you haven't seen them, and you're not opposed to sci-fi, and you're okay with some films that are obviously going to be pretty dated, they're worth a watch. Those are great films. You can skip 1 and 5, to the best of my knowledge. Generations is also worth a watch, because it's a crossover to the next generation of or to the next generation cast. But then, after First Contact, I think, those movies kind of fizzled off. So then when they did the reboots of Star Wars, J.J. Abrams directed both the first two, but he's not going to be directing the third one, I don't think.
No.
And, you know, that's fine. They've been decent. I would, you know, I'd say they're pretty good. I own, I think, both of them, and I would watch them, you know, but they're not.
Do you know who they're handing the franchise over to?
Is it Robert Orsi? No.
Justin Lin.
Well, I like him. I mean, I don't necessarily blame him for Fast and Furious movies. They're just silly action films. He did a movie called Better Luck Tomorrow that I really like. That was one of like his first, you know, kind of. I think that was his directorial debut, but I'm not sure.
Second.
Okay.
He's Shopping for Fangs in 97, and then Better Luck Tomorrow was 2002.
That was
he had a couple documentaries in between that, but yeah.
He did another high-profile movie, though, I thought. So he did Tokyo Drift.
He did. That was his first Fast and Furious movie, was Tokyo
Drift. And that one, it was kind of like the black sheep of the family.
Yes, but he did Fast and Furious, which
yep.
was number 4.
Yep.
They did 5 and 6.
Yeah.
Those movies sell. So
they do.
They're good action movies. They're good car movies. Obviously,
ridiculous,
Star Trek is not a car movie. It's
right.
Space and sci-fi. But
it'll be interesting to see what he does. I mean, you know, like I said, the guy's got good technical directing skills.
Yeah.
So we'll see if they can pull it. They say they got the cast reserved already. So, anyways, you know, they're entertaining. I like the cast and I like some of the trailers. But if you really want to see them, go back and watch the other ones. So we're running really long here. I guess we're catching up. But moving on. We'll move on to some new stuff.
We have a couple announced. Stuff that's coming out rather close or is in filming. Ghostbusters is currently filming. Stuff
mm-hmm.
has leaked. The all-female Ghostbusters. There's been shots of the new Ecto-1, which is a very old station wagon. Newer than what's in the original Ghostbusters, but still, I believe it's a station wagon from the 80s.
Huh.
It definitely mimics the old. And then the photo of all four women in their suits has released. So we've seen kind of the principle of what stuff is going to look like. The Bourne series is being redone, and I believe they're giving both Matt Damon and Jeremy Renner their own movies.
Oh, that's right.
So they're going to have two different Bourne movies, and they're kind of taking two different directions, because Justin Lin is doing the Jeremy Renner one. He's been announced as the director for the next Jeremy Renner one.
Oh, wow.
So the Matt Damon one is supposed to be directed by Paul Greengrass.
Okay, so he did, because that was the thing. Matt Damon had said that if Paul Greengrass wasn't coming back, then he wouldn't come back.
So they're definitely splitting that off. So we'll see how that goes.
That'll be interesting. I actually really like the Bourne Legacy. Yeah. I actually enjoyed that one. I thought Jeremy Renner was good in it, and I thought the premise was interesting, that they really showed that Jeremy Renner was kind of a dumb shit before he got promoted into the program, and how much it changed him. It really is almost like a Captain America thing.
Right.
And I really like that director too, actually.
So then we have, I don't know how they're going to redo Escape from New York, but they're going to redo Escape from New York and Snake Plissken and, I don't know, Kurt Russell. That's such an iconic movie. They're rebooting it. I don't know if they need to. That's one of those. Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But one of those. You know, but I will say that the sequel, that's an example of a sequel we're waiting 20 years or whatever, was such a mistake, because that seriously is one of the worst movies ever made.
He's surfing down the LA River.
Yeah, so weird, and he's like going in the water, and they have this shark swimming around. It's such bad CGI. Oh, it's the worst movie. Oh.
Yeah, that was terrible. Yeah.
So.
The next one I'm excited about.
Yeah.
That's Highlander.
Yep.
I love the Highlander series. I watched almost all of the TV series.
Yeah.
The movies with Christopher Lambert.
Which is funny, because I don't remember the TV series. I'm not going to lie. Like, I have watched it. A lot. But I was young, I guess, and I just, like, remember the guy had Lard and Doc Harry. He was always a pimp. He always had chicks and antiques. It made having antiques cool.
Yes.
It didn't make sense that he was so ripped. But it made having antiques cool.
Yeah, Adrian Paul did a really good job playing that was the TV series. Mm-hmm. And they did do one movie together where it looked like they were going to pass it off.
Yeah.
Highlander Endgame. It looked like they were going to pass it off to Adrian Paul. And then his movies never materialized. They they made The Source, which was like 6 or 7 years later, after the Endgame one.
Yeah.
And it didn't do well.
Right.
And so they kind of ended it. And now they've announced David Bautista will be in the next one. Which, Guardians of the Galaxy, I'm excited
for. Yeah.
It'll be, the director is a guy named Cedric Nicholas Troyan. He's from France. He worked on a bunch of stuff that you've heard of. He worked on Snow White and the Huntsman. He worked on The Ring. He worked on 1 Hour Photo. That's a Robin Williams film. But those were all in the visual effects realm. The Huntsman will be his official first directorial debut.
Hmm.
Which will be coming out in 2016. So we'll see. Highlander's been announced. They haven't given a date yet or anything. That's kind of all they've announced is who's directing it, who's doing the script. Matt Holloway, Art Markham are doing the script with Melissa Rosenberg. So we'll see. And Dave Bautista is supposed to be the Kurgan, so...
That's pretty well. Wait, oh, really? He's the bad guy?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I think you play a good Kurgan.
Yeah. Okay, well, cool. Now, on the downside, has anybody else seen the preview for the remake of Point Break? Because, Jesus.
That was not...
What a waste of time. It looks like some stupid... Some X Games promo, but one that's not worth watching. And I don't understand why they thought... Like, why... How do they screw that up? Like, don't get me wrong. Patrick Swayze's great, and I love... Keanu Reeves. I love Keanu West too. I love Keanu Reeves, and I let me say that I understated my affection for Patrick Swayze. He was a huge part of my childhood. He's like up there with Kurt Russell for like having a grip on my young psyche.
Yeah.
And Roadhouse pretty much taught me how to be a man, you know. And I love that guy. Point Break was a great example of why I love that guy.
Yeah.
But to say that you couldn't remake it and do it well would be a lie. Because at the end of the day, it wasn't it was just some different action movie with cool, you know, kind of adrenaline rush stunts and whatever. But at the end of the day, of course you could remake that and make it better and make it modern, because there's a ton of shit we do now that we didn't do back in the 90s. A bunch of outdoorsy stuff that's popular now that wasn't back then. They could make a badass action movie, and it looks what they did is made a commercial for a new Monster soda flavor that's come out. You know, and that's very sad. It's sad to see them waste such a great opportunity to remake something. But another example that might just be absolutely horrible is The Crow. Now, I say this because I am a fan of the original. I was very passionate about it when it came out. I was a teenager. I was, you know, just, I was so into it. And they never, you know, the sequels were never worth watching, and the original was just really where it was at. Now, if they're more faithful to the comic book than the original was, I will say that the graphic novel had more to it than the comic does. There were some certain elements that they could have left in that they just cut out of that film. They might be able to do it justice, but at one point there was a discussion that Mark Wahlberg was going to be the Crow, and that's when I realized that they just didn't know what they were doing. And that makes me so sad. That wraps up our really long discussion on reboots, remakes, and continuations. Join us in a couple of weeks when we're going to try something out with the Director's Corner. See what else we can wrangle up for you as we kind of wrap up the summer of 2015. We're probably going to take a look forward to what some opportunities are for the fall.
So that's going to be it for us. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. On Twitter, we are at Stone Redbeard. On Facebook, it's the same, Stone Redbeard. Follow us both there. And if you're listening to this, you already downloaded it from iTunes or Podomatic, so thank you for that. Please like and share. The more we get this out there, the better the show can be. Expose it to your friends and family and see what they say.
I'm Redbeard.
I am Stone.
And this has been Stone Redbeard, Episode 3. Thanks for listening.